It's time for the Greg Campy Show, presented by RJ's Pub. Let's go live to RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. Here's Coach Campy and the voice of the Golden Grizzlies, Neil Rule.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to a special edition of the Greg Campy Show. We're live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. My name is Neil Rule. Of course, he is a coach, Greg Campy. Camp, anything going on?
Yeah, I wish we were having another show next week, because I think we were good enough to get there. You know, I think that proved out through this whole thing. As cool as what happened, you know, we were 15 seconds away from being in a Sweet 16, and I also think we found out that we were good enough to get and play on. I mean, as I said before the tournament, when we were trying to figure out who we were going to play, I said there were only three teams that I was concerned about. I didn't want to play Purdue, I didn't want to play UConn, and I didn't want to play Houston. And it worked out in our bracket that only Houston was in that, and we wouldn't have seen them, you know, to this final Elite Eight game, and their best player got hurt. So,
right.
You know, it really worked out where we were in a position that we could do something special. And we did something really special. But I'm still wishing we could have had a radio show next week, you know.
No doubt about it. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And that's a hot topic, too, like in the Ask Campy. And by the way, you can get involved, too. Go on X. Send us they still call it a tweet on X? I don't know what the protocol is on that. You know what I'm talking about. Send a tweet with the hashtag Ask Campy. You can ask questions to Camp. We will get to those. Got some special guests in the house here tonight,
yeah.
Camp. Of course, we got Blake Lampman in the house here tonight. We'll talk to Blake. Absolutely. Trey Townsend is here as well. Absolutely. And Jack Golke. Yeah, so there you go. And we'll talk to all three of them.
Hold on. Just because they're the guys getting all the publicity, I also see Chris Conway.
Oh, Chris is in the house. All right, there's Chris. Baru's in the house,
right,
too. Baru Navalarua. Baru, what's going on, everybody?
With his new hairdo.
It's new? Okay, I'll take that, though. I'll take that. But, Camp, I mean, just what was it like? I know that we've talked about this for a minute privately. Take everybody through that 24-48-hour process. We get the win against Kentucky. What was it like for you, Camp?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, I just want to talk about our fan base and obviously look around this room. And we showed the nation what – you know, our fan base is about. We brag it to our recruits all the time about, you know, the arena and how loud it is and how good, you know, our fan base is. But the world got to see it in Pittsburgh. It was just unbelievable to walk out on that court. And I'm sure the players are going to tell you the same thing. We walked out on that floor, and you've got Big Blue Nation, who is supposed to be the greatest fan base in the country. And while there were a lot more of them, you know, we were so much louder, and from the floor, you really hear that stuff. Our players hear it when you're on the floor and it's coming at you. The noise that went on, especially when DQ made the shot in the corner to, you know, kind of seal it. The noise that came from that building was louder than anything I'd ever heard. I only heard one other thing louder than that during the whole week. And this is I was just telling Bernie back there about it. I've never experienced this in my life, and it wasn't our fan base. They didn't care. It was Jack Golke, I guess, because they already know and love him, right?
Right.
But the rest of the people in that building before the during the NC State game, you know, Jack comes off the bench, and with about 3 minutes into the game, we had fallen behind 6-2 or something like that. And I didn't wait till the timeout. Normally, I wait till the first timeout to put him in, but I didn't want to do that. He stood up and started going to the scorer's table, and you would have thought somebody made a basket to win the championship.
I mean,
that crowd went crazy that football player-looking guy had just stood up and was going down to check in. I mean, I've never heard anything like that in my life of 20,000 people going nuts over a guy checking in.
Camp, you guys were in the locker room, and Jack kind of came out first to get loose and everything like that. You'd have thought the Beatles walked out there. I mean, everybody in the arena, they stopped what they were doing to watch Jack stretch. Like, it was wild.
There's some weird people in this world.
There are, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely there are. No, but yeah, we'll talk to Jack coming up in just a little bit.
But anyways, going back to what I was saying, our fan base was just – and the amount of people – you know, we had a tremendous crowd for for Kentucky, but the amount of people that just got in their car and drove to Pittsburgh for the game Saturday, out of this world. And if you don't understand how much that means to our players and to us, it was just crazy. And I just want to thank everybody that wore a Grizzly shirt. And I had a buddy of mine that was in the Caribbean on vacation watching the games, and his son's one of our managers, and he texted me. He goes, I wore my Grizzly shirt, and everywhere I went, people were screaming at me, "Go Grizzlies, go Grizzlies," you know. And I think the day before the Kentucky game, if he was walking through with that shirt on, people would have gone, what's that, you know? And now
Oakland,
everybody,
California?
Right, everybody knew. And I told our team, you know, we got the perfect draw. This is a chance to change your lives. And I think they all know their lives were drastically changed.
No, no doubt about it. And, you know, as I asked the question in the post-game presser, arguably the greatest moment in Oakland University history was that night. I mean, it just was. And the impact that it had from coast to coast and what it did for visibility of the university and all that stuff, Kemp. I mean, it was a special moment. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, and it's not arguably. I mean, it is. There's no question about it.
Well, you never know who's in the room.
Yeah,
Kemp,
I don't,
you know,
care. So. I mean, as a coach, you know, I get asked all the time, when you coach in one place as long as I have, who's your best player? Who's the greatest team? And you never want to say anything. You just, you know, you want to give each player and each team their due. But in this case, there's just the tidal wave that has hit our program and this community, and all the stories that I've heard about the watch parties and, you know, all in Detroit. And it just wasn't Rochester and Auburn Hills and Rochester Hills. It was the whole, you know, 313-248-586, the whole area. Every bar, every place. I got friends that were all over the country were saying people were just packed in bars because you beat the Dallas Cowboys of college basketball. You beat the Villains, you know. And the whole world was, when DQ's shot went in, every bar in this country except the ones in Lexington, Kentucky were going. And I do know the ones in Louisville, they were going.
They went crazy with their wallet, too. Yeah, absolutely. I love that stuff, man.
Well, Giz told me a story that – he was, you know, we had Tennessee here for we were hosting the NCAA tournament this weekend, and all the Tennessee fans were telling him that you think the people in Louisville like you, the whole state of Kentucky's on your side, you know, the whole state of Tennessee is on your side because it's not just Louisville.
Right.
And, it's just crazy what that win meant to this whole country and the status that we have. And I don't know if it'll be 15 minutes of fame, but I know one thing. For the next, you know, the only thing that I can compare it to was when Bryce Drew for Valpo in the 90s made that shot.
Right.
And it's still, you watch any NCAA, you know, tournament highlight or, commercial that the NCAA tournament, you see the Bryce Drew shot. And I'm going to tell you, I think for the next 20 years, you're going to hear Jack Golke say, we're not a Cinderella.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
Absolutely. You know what else, Camp? Like, as the numbers start to come into, and you were talking about reactions and stuff like that, I guess they put the score on the scoreboard at LCA during the Red Wings game, and the crowd just erupted at Little Caesars Arena.
They've showed the last couple minutes of the game while the hockey game's being played on the scoreboard. They had our game. They showed the Kentucky game.
Yeah, and the numbers continue to come in, Camp. I think I sent this to you. As a matter of fact, Oakland versus Kentucky was the highest rated NCAA round of 64 game since Zion Williamson played at Duke. I mean, 4 million viewers.
No, the final. The final numbers were it averaged 6.3 million, and I think it peaked at like 8.2 million people
watching. When it went down to it, right.
Right, which is, as you said, the highest rated round of 64 game since Zion Williamson.
And Oakland University, Camp, is at the forefront of it. Is this real to you yet?
It's been hard for me because the way it ended. And you know, the problem for me, and I don't want to get too sentimental because five of those guys are here right now and I really don't want them to know how I truly feel, is that I didn't get to coach them anymore. You know, that was the saddest part for me because there wasn't a day this year, and I don't know if I could ever say this in my coaching career, there wasn't a day this year I didn't want to go into that gym. There wasn't a practice I didn't want to go into. And when you have the leadership of Lampman and Townsend and you know, the unselfishness of a Rocket Watts and the, you know, we've got a couple kids that have gone in the portal, and they should go in the portal because now's the time to worry about themselves and that. But there was never a point this year that there was a single player that put themselves above the team.
Right.
Trey never put him, and Trey had a lot to play for this year, and he never put himself above the team. Blake never put himself. Chris Conway never. No Brew. You know, he came here with this great, you know, he's going to be this. And then he missed 3 months, and it set him back, and he never complained. He never bitched. They just loved each other. And from a coaching standpoint, I think Smitty and Bobby and Cove will tell you the same thing. We just relished going into that building every day. And think about your job and what you do in life. And when you worked, if you don't anymore, there had to be days you didn't want to go to work. I mean, there just had to be. That's life. That's human. I never had that.
Right.
From the time we started in June until the time it ended, I never had that. And that's one of the reasons it's been so hard for me, because I had coaches jealous. And if I showed you the texts I got from coaches and that about that group of kids you had, and you could just see it. You could see it on your face, Campy. You could see it how the kids handled adversity during games. I mean, I've said this a bunch in radio shows, and I want to say it to the people here. And I don't care if everybody in Kentucky is listening. We were the better team.
It's facts.
We were the better team. It wasn't a 10-game, you know, a best of 7 or a best of 4. And maybe if it was, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But on that night, and Kentucky played good.
Yes,
I know their fans are mad. And they go watch the last 5 minutes of that game. Watch the last 5 minutes of that game. Watch Kentucky. They made a couple errors. They turned it over twice. We went to boxing one, and they didn't realize it. And Shepard threw it away. And then Trey cut through a passing lane at a very, very important time, but he did that all year, and our defense will do that to teams. But other than that, they were flawless down the stretch. They were down, you know, and Rocket made some tough decisions in his life, but the decision he made to not shoot a crappy shot and throw it to DQ in the corner is the best decision in his life, you know. And DQ buried it. I mean, we played an unbelievable game that a team like Oakland shouldn't do down the stretch. You know, you're supposed to fold to the pressure of that. You're supposed to, when a team that's, you know, picked to win the national championship by a lot of people is played that good, you're supposed to fold, and we never folded. And when this is all over and the sting of losing in overtime and not getting a shot and watching North Carolina State go to the Final Four and thinking it could have been us, when the sting of that is gone, we're going to look back at that Kentucky game. And I hadn't watched. I watched it 2 nights ago for the first time, and my juices got flowing. I'm going to tell you, because that we played unbelievable basketball, but the maturity and the ability to overcome adversity that our kids showed is because of who they are. You know, we've bragged about our kids all year. We bragged about their 3.4 in the classroom. That they're, you know. Whenever I say, come to the radio show, they come. Let's go to serve food to the homeless. They come, and they're happy about it. Can we do this? Yeah, coach, let's go do this. Yeah. That's what these kids were. Yep. And that's why they were able to handle adversity, because of who they are as people. I mean, it would have been easy to fold, and everybody would have been able to say, oh, you played Kentucky, they're so good, and you played them so tough, if this. There was going to be no ifs. We were going to win the game, and they did. And I will forever be grateful to this team, because they took me on a hell of a ride.
No, absolutely, Camp. And that's something, you know, when I've done these interviews and talked about it, that's the message that I try to drive, is we out-rebounded Kentucky.
Right.
We shot more free throws. We out-offensive rebound. We led for 28 minutes. Hey, we were the better team.
Go back to that. We shot more free throws. At one point, it was 12-4.
Right.
The foul. So I thought there might have been a few people there that thought Kentucky should win. And a few of them might have had some stripes on, too, you know, early
maybe
in that
game. Maybe not. You know,
yeah.
you know, we're certainly not accused. We're just saying, you know, right. We're just saying, absolutely.
It was just a feeling, right?
All right, Camp, let's do this. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Blake Lampman. I'm going to be joined by Trey Towns. I'm going to be joined by Jack Golke. Also, too, get your questions in. We got questions flying in with the hashtag AskCampy. There's a ton to get. So when we come back, we'll talk to Blake Lampman and get things rolling here. This is a special postseason edition of the Greg Campy Show. We're live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills.
You don't have to play for the Pistons to be treated by the same doctors who keep the team at their best.
I can't dunk in size 18 sneakers, but I can play 18 holes.
I don't box out defenders in mesh shorts, but my hip is back in the game.
I'm not a Piston, but I'm running on all cylinders after back surgery. I am Henry.
I am Henry.
Henry Ford Health, official team physicians of the Detroit Pistons. And you, visit henryford.com/teamdocs.
With OU Credit Union's Visa Signature Credit Card, you'll enjoy more cash back on the things you buy most. Receive 3% cash back on groceries, 2% cash back on gas, travel, and universities, and 1% cash back on everything else. You'll also receive $100 when you spend $5,000 within the first 3 months of card approval. Open your Visa Signature Card today at OUCreditUnion.org and start enjoying the benefits of more cash back. Full details at OUCreditUnion.org.
Here in Michigan, we're used to keeping ourselves busy all winter long. Whether that's enjoying mugs of hot chocolate by the fireplace or a late night of movie watching. And at DTE, we want to help keep that winter fun going while saving you money. With our online interactive home, you can find ways to save throughout yours, from your kitchen to your living room. Stay cozy and save. Head to DTEinteractiveHome.com today. DTE.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the Greg Campy Show, live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. My name is Neil Rule, the voice of the Golden Grizzlies. As always, the Greg Campy Show brought to you by Henry Ford Health. And right now, as promised, we are joined by Blake Lampman, everybody, here live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. And Blake, hey, man.
How are we doing?
Anything been going on at all?
Man, nothing much, man. Just been hanging out. What you been up to?
You know, the same. Absolutely. What do you say? Take us through it, Blake. Take us through being out there on the floor. Take us through. And look, you guys always believed that was going to go down that way. Every single one of you to a man believed that. But take us through from that 4 minutes in when it was all going down. What was going through everybody's mind?
Yeah, I think we were prepared for the moment. Our non-conference schedule was so elite. Campy does this every year, and everybody asks, you know, why do you want to start your season 0-9? It's for when you get in moments like that. And I think – the coolest thing for me was the day before we were talking in the locker room. We had like a media day, and me and some of the guys were talking about some of the Kentucky players, how they shoot 50% from three, all this. And Golke looked at us and he's like, so do I. Look at the last 13 games. I'm 46%. What are we talking about? And then he went out and he did, you know, the unbelievable. And so just the confidence that the guys had even the day before the game, let alone when we walked out on the court, I think that just speaks to what we were about all season.
Absolutely. I mean, but Blake, you know, this happens, right? And we got guys like James Honeycutt. I call him like the artist to the stars here in Detroit. He's up there. He's got the Blake Lampman caricature drawing for you. You know, I saw you over there meeting James and stuff like that. Has this sunk in? Like, is this still wild to you or what?
To be honest, I'm just sad that we're not practicing anymore. Like Jack said, you know, it was such a great year. You know, you don't understand. I had 14, 15 best friends that I had to see, and they had to see me at 10 a.m. every morning.
Right.
And now that that's over, it's like, you know, I'm waking up at 9 o'clock. Like, oh, what am I? You know, Jack sent us a text after probably 2 days later. He's like, anybody trying to practice tomorrow? Like. And I think Trey was like, I mean, I would do a Smitty defensive drill right now, boys. Who's in?
That's how hard up you guys were.
I mean, literally, it was such a joy. And, you know, my first 4 years, I've had some great teammates, but the guys that I got to be with this year, man, they're my brothers for life for sure. My coaching staff, my family. So, like I said, I'm sad it's over, but it hasn't really sunk in that it is, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, and knowing you too, like, and I try to paint this picture, and I've talked about this publicly. We've talked about it privately before. For you to get out on the floor, because people don't realize how close you were to not playing this year, like that. But that was a 50-50 decision for a very, very long time. The extra work that I saw you put in, that, you know, beyond practice, beyond weights, beyond all that stuff, the stuff you had to do personally to get out there on the floor. You went through it, man. I mean, you absolutely went through it, but I know what you're going to say. It's those guys, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody goes through it. You know, when you have a season where we played, you know, we played four extra games that I haven't played in 3 years, you know, since I've been here. So I think everybody had some bruises and had to kind of grind it out. But that's the cool thing about college basketball. That's the cool thing about March. You know, you play a game, you get one day to recover, and – I think everybody was kind of in a shock with how much attention we got. I don't know how, you know, Golkey came out and he hit his first three threes in the second game. Right. I don't even know how he got a minute of sleep on Friday night or whatever, you know, Thursday night. His phone was probably crazy.
That's a great – I'll ask him that when he comes up here. Well, that just sounds like a great question, man.
Absolutely.
You could do this.
But I think everybody a part of Oakland University, like, my family can attest to it too. Like, they're people from back home are hitting them up, people that – I haven't talked to in 5 years that I never thought I'd talk to ever again. They're texting me. So it's crazy. It was an unreal experience. And I think everybody's going to have kind of the same testament that was a part of Oakland University this year.
I got two more for you before we let you go. I got one question. I got one statement that I want to get your thoughts on. First off, the question, Blake, you guys will go down in Oakland University history, obviously Oakland basketball history, but Oakland University history. For what you did in this NCAA tournament, what's that mean to you?
That means everything, man. Oakland University's this is my home. This is everything to me, and I told Xavier Banks and a couple of younger guys, Cooper Craigs. I'm like, you guys have the opportunity to be the most winningest player in Oakland history. Like, you guys got to keep this going. I want to come back in, you know, a couple of years and watch you guys be beating the brakes off of Detroit Mercy and stuff like that. So
that never goes away.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said earlier, it means the world to me. I mean, I gave, you know, this is the last 5 years has been absolutely everything to me, and it's my life, it's my home. So I truly love this university.
And then the last thing, Blake, I called you when we got back, you know, from Oakland after the bus got back in town, and I'm going to share what I talked to you about. Blake Lampman gave his guts to this program, literally everything he had to be out there on the floor. When I think of Oakland basketball, I will think of Blake Lampman because he paid the ultimate price to be out there on the floor. And I just want to thank you for that publicly.
Appreciate
it,
man. Appreciate it.
Blake Lampman, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, no worries, man. Next, I guess Jack's up here next. So, welcome to the stage, everybody, Mr. Jack Golkey. Absolutely. Hey, you're Jack Golkey, right? Hey,
I am.
I'm Neil Rule. I used to call your games when you played in college basketball. Do you remember me, Jack?
I remember everybody.
It's great
to see everybody here.
I guess we'll get right into it with you. The game's over. I remember we're in the hotel eating. What was the next 48 hours like for you?
I still don't really kind of believe, like, everything that's happened. But, I mean, Blake kind of touched on it. I think between Thursday night after the game, Friday night before the game against NC State, and then Saturday night after the NC State game, I think I got less than 9-10 hours of sleep those 3 days. So it was just a whirlwind, like, I was trying to sleep. It was just the adrenaline was pumped up for 72 hours. It was all crazy, but a tremendous experience to be out there with my guys and my coaches on that type of stage. I mean, that's what you dream of.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. But post-game, you came on the air with me right after it was over. you put the headset on, and your first words to me were, "What'd I tell you, Neil?" And you were telling anybody that would listen, you knew this. Like, you foresaw this. You knew how this was going to go down.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but my whole basketball career, like, I've always kind of been an underdog, and this year we were kind of an underdog as going into the tournament. But I hate when people call me an underdog, when people tell me I'm creating an upset or whatever it is, just because I think we went out there and we knew we were the better team. Like, obviously they got higher recruits and everything like that, but the amount of time we put in with each other, we were just so confident in each other's abilities and in the, you know, in the process that we had gone through with our coaches the whole season. We knew Kentucky had great players, but we didn't think that they prepared the same way we did. So that's why we were so confident. We just had that preparation and that build-up throughout the whole season.
Talking with Jack Golke here on the Greg Campy Show. We're live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills, home of the Greg Campy Show. Jack, I have to ask you this one because a lot of people have asked me this, so I'll ask you it. Who's the coolest person that reached out to you?
The J.J. Watt video was really cool, being a Pewaukee kid myself. I've, like, met him once or twice, but to have him send that across the internet was really sweet, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You know, too, with Kentucky, and Blake had talked about it, you talked about it, with what they were, and they're going to be three, maybe four lottery picks on that team. But the way that you guys, and again, what Campy was talking about, you guys closed that out on them. Like, you had the lead. You were winning 28 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
You guys closed that out. And then when you came out, and I'm curious to hear from the people, when you jumped on CBS and you're done talking, you're like, oh, we're not a Cinderella. What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, man. Like,
well,
what led to that?
First off, I got to credit my guys for closing that game out because I don't think I scored for the last, like, 8 minutes or something. So shout out to them for that. But I don't know. I mean, in the interview after the game, Campy and I were kind of just loving on each other over there, like, just enjoying the moment, you know. And that was just – that was a ton of fun. And when we were about to go out, I was just – I still felt like we were being considered the underdog. I mean, I understand that's how it's going to be, but I just – I wanted everyone – across the country, I guess, to know that we were confident going into it. Like, this wasn't a surprise for us, and I wanted people to know that because I think it's important to have that confidence and to have that belief in yourself, because if you don't, I don't think we would have got that result.
Last one for you here, Jack. So what's next for you, man? What do you got going on? I know you're out to Phoenix for the Final Four. I know you're hanging out with Barstool. You know, I know you're doing all these kinds of things. What's next for you?
I just signed an agent, and I'm going to be going down to Dallas after the school year's over to train and try to get ready for some potential summer opportunities in, like, the summer league and things like that, and just pursue a professional career to the best of my abilities, because I don't want to give up the game. It's given me so much so far, so many great relationships, so many great moments, and I think I can create a couple more in the future.
Absolutely. There it is, everybody. Give it up for Jack Golke, everyone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Absolutely. Thank you very much for the time, Jack. And right now, we're going to talk to Mr. Oakland. That is right, everybody. Trey Townsend making his way up here. And here at the Greg Campy Show, live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. And, yeah, Trey, just kind of get that microphone as close to your mouth there as you can.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Trey?
Neil?
Anything happening lately at all, man?
Just enjoying the moment, you know, watching Jack's social media blow up and watching him do all these ads and commercials behind the scenes. That's been pretty entertaining. So.
I forgot to ask Jack, what should I do if I have tax problems? Who should I talk to? Oh, TurboTax. Okay, yeah, I think I will. No, but Trey, from your perspective, the last 4 minutes of that game, it was like a real-life Rocky movie, though. I mean, you had Kentucky playing at a high level. You guys certainly were playing at a high level. Did you feel that way too? I mean, just blows being landed on each other. Was it like a heavyweight fight?
It 100% was, and I got to give a lot of credit, like Camp said, to our fan base that traveled out there to help with their punches and had given us momentum on the way back. But you could also feel in that arena the game that was after us, all the fans felt like they were pulling for us as well because nobody else wanted to see Kentucky win that game. So every time we did something good, it was – like the craziest rush of adrenaline. So no matter what punch they threw, we knew we were going to come down everyone was going to be on our side and we were going to pull it out.
What is that like for you? I mean, I guess you kind of answered the question, but when you have all Texas Tech fans and all NC State fans and they all become Oakland fans together and it's three quarters of the arena against Kentucky, and somebody told me one time when Kentucky loses, America wins. And so, like, did you feel like you were kind of playing for America there, I guess? Because, like, the whole arena, well, three quarters of it, we're all Oakland fans.
Yeah, like I said, it's in the end of those games, you know, it's a physical battle for 40 minutes and you're tired at the end. But any boost of adrenaline you can get is amazing. And like you said, no matter what we did, if we got a steal, a deflection, a made basket, every single person that was wearing red, black, and gold was cheering for us. If they weren't in blue, they were cheering for us. So it was amazing to see, and it definitely helped us pull out a win.
Who was the coolest person that reached out to you, Trey? Because I know you were making some national headlines there. The story with your parents, obviously, kind of went viral a little bit as well. Who'd you hear from?
I still think the coolest thing for me, I told Griff this at the Selection Sunday show, the coolest person that I just reached out was Travis Bader, finally followed me back on Instagram. So that was
big time.
That was a great moment for me as an Oakland kid growing up. So that was, I think, the most special person that's reached out for sure.
You going to run for mayor here after the playing career is over?
I think I'm a little too quiet and shy for all that talking, so I think I'll stick to basketball. But
I think you could. Could he win for mayor if he ran for mayor? Could he win? I'm just saying, think about it, Trey. That's all I'm
thinking.
I'll keep
it in the back pocket.
I asked Blake this for you because obviously we know what a special place Oakland is to you. To go down as being affiliated with the greatest moment in Oakland history probably hits a little more for you even, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. As I've been saying these past couple of weeks, you know, my dream was just to be a part of this program in any way, shape, or form. You know, I didn't care what, you know, what we accomplished. I just wanted to be in an Oakland uniform and play for Campy and, you know, be a part of this university. And, you know, I've seen a lot of special Oakland moments growing up. I went to their two tournament games when I was younger and been a part of so many special moments. And to think that this group of guys, you know, people I'll be closest with the rest of my life, accomplished what we did this year and left our mark on this university. Like I've been saying, I couldn't have scripted any better or asked for anything different. It's just such a magical thing.
By the way, Trey, so big time now. Pro Sports Zone this Sunday, as a matter of fact. You and Jack Oakley have an autograph signing out there, I'm told. So you'll have that going on as well. Thank you, Trey. Thanks to this whole team, man. I mean, what you guys did for this community, what you guys did for this region, college basketball. You know, we were talking about it earlier, the highest viewed game since Zion Williamson was playing college basketball. Has it set into you?
It still honestly hasn't, because I'm still, you know, March Madness is still going on, so it's kind of hard to, you know, hear all the stuff going on with that, knowing how close we were. But, you know, I just want to say how much I appreciate this fan base and how many people traveled out there, because I knew, you know, everyone that comes to these shows and the people that I've gotten to know really well over the past few years, I knew they were going to be there. But seeing all the new faces and, you know, all the new Oakland fans, I feel that we've, you know, inspired and wanted to cheer for this school, come to this school and be the next me here. It's been such a special thing. So I'm grateful for everything that's happened.
Absolutely. We'll appreciate your time. As always, my friend, thank you for coming by. Trey Townsend, everybody, Mr. Oakland here in the house. We'll take a break, come back. Speaking of politics, there you go. No, absolutely. But we'll take a break. We'll come back. It's the Ask Campy portion of the show. We have questions flying in on X. Send it in with the hashtag Ask Campy. We'll get to that. It's the Greg Campy Show. We're live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills.
At Lincoln of Troy, we always put our customers first. And even with the current vehicle shortage, we're committed to keeping you one step ahead. If you plan to turn in your lease or buy a new vehicle within the next few months, now is the time to come in and place your retail order. Not only does it ensure that you get the vehicle of your choice, but you can save up to $1,200. It's still a great time to buy a Lincoln. And our goal at Lincoln of Troy is to make sure your next vehicle is ready when you are. Let us put you at the front of the line.
They say one great thing leads to another. And that's especially true when you visit a Great Clips salon. When you sit down for a haircut with the skilled and friendly stylist at one of our thousands of convenient Great Clips locations, they'll not only make your hair look great, they'll make you feel great too. And that's something you can't help but share with the world. Download our online check-in app today and opt in to get a ready next text when you're up next. Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
You don't have to play for the Pistons to be treated by the same doctors who keep the team at their best.
I can't dunk in size 18 sneakers, but I can play 18 holes.
I don't box out defenders in mesh shorts, but my hip is back in the game.
I'm not a Piston, but I'm running on all cylinders after back surgery.
I am Henry.
I am Henry.
Henry Ford Health, official team physicians of the Detroit Pistons. And you, visit henryford.com/teamdocs.
With OU Credit Union's Visa Signature Credit Card, you'll enjoy more cash back on the things you buy most. Receive 3% cash back on groceries, 2% cash back on gas, travel, and universities, and 1% cash back on everything else. You'll also receive $100 when you spend $5,000 within the first 3 months of card approval. Open your Visa Signature Card today at oucreditunion.org and start enjoying the benefits of more cash back. Full details at oucreditunion.org.
Chester Hills. He's a coach, Greg Campy. My name is Neil Rule. Happy to have all of you. A packed capacity, sold out, filled up building here at RJ's Pub. Certainly do appreciate everybody coming out all season long. Yes, sir.
How about RJ's Pub getting a play on national primetime CBS? They're talking about RJ's Pub and the season fries.
And the season fries, Campy.
And how cheap RJ is.
By the way, you'll notice they brought out the season fries for the house.
Everybody, they didn't want that wrap now, you know.
That's a heady play by Russ. That's a heady play.
He's a smart man.
Yeah. Absolutely. You ready for some Ask Campy?
Sure.
We got a ton to get to. Why not? Why not just keep up the tradition? Pittsburgh Marty chiming in. So grateful for you for the four most unforgettable days ever. The entire staff treated me like family. Your players are gentlemen. In the words of Coach Norman Dale from Hoosiers, I love you guys. Moving forward, what does May, June, July look like for the program?
Well, you know, we'll report. Our team reports at the end of June, and we'll know what our roster is by then. Right now, we're roster building and roster saving, maybe a little bit too. You know, we're doing it all. We're trying to figure out who's going to be there and who's going to replace people that are leaving. And you know, we have, like I'm sure the true fans know, we had a couple guys go in the portal, and it's all love. I mean, we're trying to help everybody, put everybody in a position where they can have a chance to play there. In Osei Price's case, his senior year, where, you know, he's not a guy off the bench. He's at a school where he's going to be the first line guy, where he can be the man at a school, and he should be that. And so we're doing everything we can to help those guys. We're out there recruiting. My staff has been, you know, Smitty and his normal working 25 hours a day. Bobby's 25 hours. I mean, you know, they're all working their tails off to. We want to keep this thing going. You know, we've been here before. We didn't win in the NCAA tournament, but if you remember, we took a Texas team that was one of the best teams in the country to the wire and lost. This time we won and got the extra games. So we've been there before, and we stumbled, and we don't want to stumble now. We want to keep it going. And it's easy to do when I got a staff like I've got. You know, I'm getting a lot of play nationally right now, but, you know, the truth of the matter is my staff is just unbelievable, and it's just done a phenomenal job. They're really the reason these kids are here.
Austin Davis, and I'm curious to get the answer to this one too. How does it feel watching NC State continue the run to the Final Four? What does it make you think of?
Well, Austin, to tell you the truth, it's a double-edged sword, because I want them to win and I hate that they're winning. I want them to win the national championship, but I hate the fact that they are.
Yeah.
You know, I hate the fact that they're playing, and it's. I think Trey and Blake and they all, you know, they know it's over, and so they're basking in that. But if you deep inside of them too, they know too. And we played at a high level, and we were playing at a high level. Could we continue that high level through another two weekends? I really believe we can, because of the momentum of riding the wave, right? And as good as we were playing, it wasn't a fluke. We weren't, you know, I mean, Golkey was still 10 for 20. It wasn't like he was 10 for 10.
Right.
You know, I mean, there was – and he could go 10 for 10. So it wasn't like we couldn't give more. And so it's hard.
Mr. Drew Huff on Twitter, Ask Campy, diehard fan since my freshman year back in 2015. Thank you to your staff and your team for the best 2 weeks of my sports life. What can fans in the university do to help capitalize on the team's recent success in terms of recruitment, game day experience, et cetera?
Well, I think that our game day experience, and I don't know what fans are, but from what I've heard is you know, I love Giz and Steve and those guys. Now, everybody, they just do a tremendous job. And whenever we bring a recruit in, all they talk about after the game is, wow, what a, you know, the game itself. Now, we don't show them our facilities because they wouldn't be saying wow then, but, you know, we're working on
it. Don't worry, there's questions a little bit later on about that.
You know, the practice facility is, we're working on that. We're, you know, we're hoping to be in that in a year, and so we're working towards that. But honestly, and nobody wants to hear this today, but the biggest thing we can do is, if you're going to invest in the collective, right? Because it's the way it is. And, you know, I don't want, never do I want my players to be making a ridiculous amount, because I just don't believe in that. I don't believe they're helping them. Because even if a guy makes, let's say somebody gets $200,000, well, they don't understand at that age taxes, and it's not $200,000. It might be $120,000. And then they buy a car and they buy this, and then it's gone.
Right?
And it's not sustainable. So, you know, I want them to receive a piece of the pie for sure, and that's what the collective's going to do. It's never going to be ridiculous at our place, though. I'd like, if I could get to a position where every one of our players is making, you know, $10,000 or something like that, to me that's sustainable, and that's, if they don't want that and don't want to be here, then fine, go somewhere else, right?
Absolutely. Oh, I did want to bring up, too, we were talking about Trey and Jack. They're making the rounds. They'll be sounding the horn at the Red Wings game on April 9th. So if you're going out to the Red Wings game, Trey and Jack will be sounding the goal horn there at LCA.
And that's considering if we score, right?
Well, no, they do that before the game no matter what. So you get to do it at least once.
Okay. Good.
They beat Tampa last night. They're back in the mix, Camp.
Let's go.
They're back in the mix. Camp, you and Trey will be throwing out the first pitch at the Tigers game on April 13th at Comerica Park.
Yeah. I'm having nightmares about hearing Bob Uecker say, just a bit outside.
It's a lot of pressure, Camp. It's certainly a lot of pressure.
I'm not winding up, I'll tell you that.
Grizzly fan wants to know, with the success this year, can we look forward to more funding going into game day experience, all that, you know, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, sure. We do a lot on that. I mean, I think our game day is great. You know, we've just got to, behind-the-scenes stuff is what has to get fixed.
Absolutely. Jack will be out there, too, throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, I thought he was, but maybe now that he's such a big shot, I mean,
maybe
the guy's making more money than I am right now. I mean, we beat Kentucky, and I've gotten a lot of attaboys and a lot of, you know, radio shows and everything.
Yeah, right.
And his bank account has gone like this. I mean, my God.
Well, if you're having tax trouble, Camp, TurboTax. I was told, Jack told me to tell you TurboTax.
You talk to Jack. I'm not having any trouble. Trust me.
Grizzly fan also wanted to know, can we get custom made to order Oakland Nike jerseys now, potentially with the new spotlight? Is Nike going to be sending a semi to Oakland now like they do with Kentucky?
So I've been asked by our league office to, now that you've experienced this, what could we do better as a league? And I think our department's going to do the same thing. I think our department knocked it out of they knocked it out of the park. But the one thing that everybody was angry about, and I actually had people coming up to me in Pittsburgh that weren't Oakland people, and they're like, they're kind of mad. And remember how I was going to be a ticket salesman and I was booking flights and doing all that kind of stuff? They wanted the Oakland Energy shirt. And I guess all the other schools were selling the Oakland Energy shirt, and you know, they couldn't get that, and I think they wanted me to take the one on I had on and give it to them. But you know, those types of things. Now that we've experienced it, being able to have uniform, you know, I think we should have a Trey Townsend jersey, and he should get the benefits from it. You know, if you sell it for $25, give him 10, give Oakland 10, and you know, give Nike 5, and we need to do that for sure. And I think now that we're there and we've seen what we've created, it's our job to make sure those things happen.
And now you have the juice to pull it off. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. MD Fun, who's in the house, usually every single week, as a matter of fact. Camp, ask Campy, talk about next year, the players we'll have, the places we're going to play, et cetera.
Well, right now we have no guarantee games. We have Michigan State at Little Caesars, but usually by now, you know, we're close to getting guarantee games. Right now, we're not going to get any for a while until they see what our roster is, because what we did, nobody's going to play us, right? And I text Holtman today, who was the coach at Ohio State when we played Ohio State. He's now the head coach at DePaul. And I said to him, hey, Chris, I need money. I need a guarantee game. Would you, you know, we're losing our whole team. We're not going to, you know, my whole team's in the – I mean, I painted this, you know, picture of us, and he wrote back, why the hell would I want to go against that zone again? And that was the answer. That was just the answer.
That was the last comment you got,
so,
right? Yeah.
The other side of that is we were trying to be in Kentucky's MTE. The MTE is the three-team tournament that we play one in every year. This year we were in the Cayman Islands. Kentucky has one next year, and there's a lot of money involved, and we were very close to signing that. And I was going to talk to Cal about it. And the guy that's running the tournament texted me the night of the after the Kentucky game with, so where would you like to go for your MTE next year? Because this one ain't happening. So, you know, I have no clue who we're going to play right now. We have Michigan State at Little Caesars. That's the only, and we're at Toledo, and we have Eastern Michigan at home. Those are the only three non-league games we have.
Short season next year. I can't believe.
Could be.
Wesley V says, and we kind of answered about we have a hard time getting Power 5 games next season. I think we just gave the answer to that one.
It just depends on what our roster is.
Looking forward, is name, image, and likeness money the single most important thing for recruiting and retaining this offseason? How do we compete in this new environment?
The answer is yes. The answer is we're trying to figure it out. You know, we're really on top of that. Smitty is really, I mean, he's our expert on the staff on it, and he's working real hard. We're trying to figure out what people are, you know, what they're worth. And it's crazy, but it's what it is, and we love this just like you love it. You know, this has been an unbelievable couple of weeks. We want to do this every year. And to do that, we need players, right? We got to have good players. And I'm sure no Power Fives are listening right now, but we're going to have really good players next year. I'm telling them we're not, but, you know, we got Conway back. We got Baru. We got DQ. We've got some guys in the...
Yeah.
So...
Gary McCarrick doesn't have a question, just a statement. He says, Coach, thank you for such a memorable season. We appreciate you and all you do for Oakland University. So that's just a statement.
He texted that just as I wrote it.
it went voice to text. I like that one. Trill Gunderson, does all this success mean we can get a fast track on the new practice facility?
No, because they're fast tracking it now. I'm telling you, Aura has been just a champion on this. She wants this, and... Steve and Aura and Steve McNey, I've been out of this world on this. We're hoping to be in the actual playing facility next year. The goal is that week that the arena shuts down before the Michigan State game, when we can't practice and we have to find places to practice, that week the practice facility will open for practice. And then when the season ends in the spring, we'll be able to get into the locker rooms and the offices, and we'll move everything into it in the spring next year. And I've been told, you know, right now we're on track to that. I will say this publicly, I'll probably get in trouble for it, is we're probably $1 million short, you know, of having everything we want. And so we're out there trying to raise another $1 million so that we can have everything we want. So if anybody wants to have the Neil Rule basketball court or the Neil Rule locker room or whatever like that, you know, a couple $100,000, we get five people to do it, we'll have the greatest practice facility in the league.
I endorse that. If somebody wants to do that, I'll lend my name to it, Cam.
Oh, okay.
Free of charge. I absolutely will, free of charge. Gary also asked, for the NC State game, I was parking my car at the Marriott before the game, and the parking attendant saw my Grizz hat and wanted to know how to get one, and I'll need to carry more gear next year to give it away. So I guess he gave him the Oakland hat, the parking attendant there. So he got some new fans in Oakland as well.
I took a dozen hats there and gave them all away too.
Jimmy Kennedy, big shout out to Jimmy Kennedy too, back in our 1270 AM studios all season long. Greg Hessen on the show here tonight as well. Jimmy wants to know, how has the magical NCAA tournament run changed you and how Oakland handled recruiting? And if so, how?
I don't think it's changed how we handle recruiting. It's changed who's talking to us. You know, every 6'5", I can't say that. Every 6'5" shooter out there wants to come to Oakland right now. But you know what their first question is? Their first question, how much money were you paying Golkey, right? How much money were you paying Lampman? And the answer is zero. Yeah. But because you come do what he did, and you're going to make more than I make, because that's what he's doing right now.
That's the way that it works. Let me see here. Hashtag Ask Campy. Oh, Tony Paul, our buddy from the Detroit News. Is Greg Campy worried about the state of his golf handicap now that he's getting such a late start to the golf season? You are compromised a bit, Camp. You're behind schedule.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it, too. So there's some people in this building tonight that really know about my golf game. It's kind of not real out there. There's this perception that I might be good. I'm not. So there's a country club in Columbus called Double Eagle. And when I go there, a friend of mine, Bill Larkin, who flies us everywhere, is a member there. And we go there 3-4 times a summer. And it's very, very exclusive in that nobody's ever on the course. So all the staff, there's 8 people there, so they take care of you, right?
Right.
Well, one of the kids had asked me, you know, you guys open with Ohio State, can I have tickets? And I said, sure, I'll get you a ticket to Ohio State. So he couldn't go for some reason. So when we got in the tournament, it was in Pittsburgh, he texted me, can I go, right? And I go, sure, since you couldn't make the Ohio State game, I got a ticket for you. So he drove to Pittsburgh, and he's sitting in the stands, and I put him right next to a relative of mine. And after the game, I saw the relative, and they're talking. And she said to me, he said, you're not any good on the golf course. I'm never giving a guy a ticket again.
That's it.
I mean, what? I got you a $200 ticket for free, and you're going to go tell my sister that I suck? He's right.
Yeah.
But keep your mouth shut, right?
I've come to learn it depends on the stakes, right?
Like, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. There's different degrees of it. Evan wants to know, how is recruiting going with all the guys hitting the portal? How do you regroup the roster? And do you get an uptick in the portal because of what happened?
We're getting an uptick of interest, yes. And, you know, our name is hot right now. People know we're in Michigan, all that kind of stuff. So yes, we are getting an uptick, but it's still going to come down to, you know, what we can give them and those types of things. I'm very confident. I have a great staff. I'll say it again. I'm very confident that it's going to be a home run year in recruiting, and, you know, it's all going to come down to that. And we have a tremendous core coming back. I think, and I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but I think there's a chance that we could go farther than we did this year if the right people come back you heard about how they cared about each other. If we can carry that over and that becomes the norm, then I think this is just a start.
Camp, I asked Blake that at one of the media availabilities, because that was always the line, right? We love each other more than they do. And you guys were 9-1 in 5 points or less games. Do you believe that? Do you believe that comes into play when you're in a close game like that? Does that play a part?
Yeah, and the only game we lost in that close game was when the referee swallowed his whistle against Toledo.
Right.
You know, and Trey should have been at the line shooting 2 free throws to win it. I 100% believe that. And we talked, if you were in our timeouts down the stretch of Kentucky and even against NC State, the last thing said in every huddle is we win all close games, and they believed it.
You can tell it's the postseason edition. You're getting a lot of golf questions here. Benny says, hey, Camp, how can I play around with you on Scharf? I play very fast. Neil, you can join us too. So what do you think?
We can get that done.
Yeah.
bring some Diet Dr. Pepper and you got me.
And you're in there. And then the last one here, Camp, at Oakland U Fan. Camp, all that talk about Diet Dr. Pepper and all that talk about Portillo's, they haven't got you any endorsement deals yet? What's going on with that?
Actually, Colin told me that Portillo's reached out to him. So I don't know what that means. Colin's not here tonight, so I can't ask, but he said they want to give the team a free meal next year when we're in Chicago or something like that. So, I mean, it's a start, right? I guess if we've made the Final Four or the Sweet 16, maybe I would have gotten a free Big Beef Dipped or somewhere. I mean, I got free fries tonight, so who knows?
Absolutely, Camp. Yeah, absolutely. So that wraps up the Ask Campy portion of the show. We got about three and a half minutes left, Camp. What are the final thoughts, man?
Well, I just think you have a group of young men that are very thankful. I think Oakland will mean the world to them the rest of their lives, and I think the Oakland fan base will reciprocate that. You know, I just – sports is a funny thing. And I remember before the championship game at in the conference tournament, it's so hard to win your regular season and then win the conference tournament. You have to be a special, special group. And I told our team before we took the floor, because we never knew who it was on our team. Was it going to be Golke? Was it going to be Lampman? Was it going to be Townsend? Obviously, in the clutch situations, we're going to Trey. You know, you have to do that. You know, I'm not stupid. I understand that. And he always came through for us, right? But to get there, to get in those situations, it was always somebody different. And I made the statement that March, you know, March creates heroes or something like that. I know Giz did a shirt with it. And we had hero after hero. And that was what – it wasn't a hero. It was hero after hero. And then, obviously, in the Kentucky game, and we told them it would change their lives. And, I mean, Jack Golke, as I said, is going to go down. And it's – and, again, Blake and I were just talking about part of it is Golke, right? I mean, if that was Trey that had made 10 – that's a 24-year-old transfer from Hill. I mean, it's what athletics is about. It's what that tournament is about. He was epitomized what the NCAA tournament is. Here's this most unimaginable thing happening. And if you go back and watch the video, the shots he made are crazy. I mean, they're absolutely crazy. And he believed every second. I'm not a guy that loves a guy sticking his tongue out and doing all the stuff Jack was doing that day. That if that were a regular season game, he and I'd have had a conversation maybe. But I was really happy he did that stuff. I mean, I really was, because that just made that made the legend grow, you know. And the other side of that is that everybody's so happy for him.
Right.
Everybody, our guys, you know. I mean, Tone Hunter, he was in every picture. A guy that wasn't even dressed, from Detroit, I can't remember. What's his name?
What you talk about? You talk about for us?
Yeah,
Andre Paul.
No, our walk-on. Banks.
Yeah.
Banks is in the New York Times. I'm sorry, I'm getting old, I guess, but he's in the New York Times. You show on TV, they're showing pre-game, and there's Banks. I mean, the whole team got involved in it, and it was unbelievable. So my final words on the season is our thank you to everybody. I was blessed to got taken on a ride by a group of kids that are just out of this world, and the whole university, if you could paint a picture of a group that you'd want to take you for a ride, it would be these guys. And we were all blessed to have that happen, and it will go down as one, if not the greatest season in Oakland history. And we were all part of it. I mean, the fan base, everybody was a part of it, and it was two of the best weeks that we could ever want.
All right, well, Kemp, great season, and a big thank you to everybody that comes out. That will do it for this season of the Greg Campy Show. We're live at RJ's Pub in Rochester Hills. We'll talk to you all next season. Well, see you later.